Welcome to Skills of the Future, a podcast by Perennial Talent. In this mini-series, we are talking about competencies over coffee.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast, Skills of the Future, and our mini-series on competencies over coffee. In this episode, we're going to be talking about defining competency models for talent management. My name is Andrea Butler, and I'm your host and principal consultant at Perennial Talent. My guest today is Delaina McKinsley. She is an HR executive and has extensive experience creating sound people practices with organizations, resulting in amazing places to work. Her background includes over 20 years of highly regarded corporate work in organizational development and effectiveness. She's supported in a variety of industries, ranging from the energy sector to technology and telecommunications, retail, financial services, and insurance. Delaina takes a pioneering approach that specializes in the critical talent management intersections of culture, people, and performance. She has deep experience in implementing succession, optimization, capturing and transferring knowledge, and developing high potentials and leadership, to name but a few. So welcome to the show, Delaina.
Thank you, Andrea. It's great to be here.
So let's start off with our fun icebreaker. What's something that you've maybe watched or read that you'd recommend?
I am consuming anything that HGTV puts out, Andrea. It has just been, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, frankly, because I have now have far too many inspired ideas for my own backyard as spring is in full bloom, or will be here very soon, depending on where you live. And it's just time. So I would highly recommend that, but maybe shut it off when your budget starts to get a little too broken.
I quite enjoy all the shows on there too, where they go to like different countries and the people are looking for property. It's always fun just to travel by TV.
Live vicariously.
Exactly. All right. So let's move on then to the topic of the day. So I'm just curious, from your perspective, because you've been doing this for a while now, what are some of the challenges that you've seen when it comes to defining and then applying competencies to the talent management lifecycle?
This is such an important question, and I'm really glad that you're starting here, because when I reflect back and think about, you know, what were some of the clunks along the way, and as I've also just networked with other professionals and to glean their experience as we work together, I think that universally, when the voice of the business strategy or our internal customers are not reflected, and it's disconnected, then this work really falls apart in the day-to-day. It's just not heading in the right direction. That's one big, big piece. I think the second one is when it is seen as being driven by HR or people and culture, and that it's a program or a project versus truly an enlisted mechanism that is driven from a business-centered need to support people and performance and really help them be at their best. That's the second big one that I have really witnessed. The third is, again, when it doesn't come alive and it doesn't work within the tides of talent management, not integrated in how you hire, how you develop, how you reward, and of course, ultimately assess performance. Those are the big ones for me.
Absolutely. And if you don't recognize some of those things, that's where you often see it end up in the cloud or on a shelf somewhere, and then no one ever uses it.
Absolutely.
So from a competencies standpoint then, are there any that you feel are more important or most important right now for successful organizational performance and certainly the performance of the individual?
100%. And again, this is really from deep conversations within organizations that I'm supporting currently, as well as in the recent past. And I think that bubbled right to the surface on everyone's mind is change leadership, given our current market conditions. And that's a huge one, is how do I manage all of the inputs that are coming at me in a changing workforce, a changing way of working, which then neatly tethers into agility. So really helping people understand, you know, how to maneuver, and that shared experience really collecting up to throughout the organization. Those are really two key pieces that work nicely together. And the third one that really makes it come alive is good old grit and follow through. That's a big piece that I'm certainly hearing and witnessing is, you know, we just keep getting interrupted by change and by shifts and by conditions and inputs. And we're not quite sure how to be agile and lead through those changes. And so it's that grit and follow through that really kind of shows up as the solution to those other two pieces that are happening in the background. So I thought I'd keep it to those three, Andrea: change, leadership, agility, grit, and follow through.
Makes sense. And so if an organization doesn't do anything to, say, foster that grit and follow through, the agility, change leadership, what then do you see as being the pain points or future threats?
That's such a great question. I think it's that, you know, really shifting to what happens if we don't? Well, the risks are high. I think that there was once upon a time where if you were missing some of those critical capabilities, you could go outside, you could hire externally, you could go on a blitz, you could bring in some new talent, and it was out there. It was available. You might have to look deep and go to different places, but you could at least find those skills. But now the big threat is that if you do not have deep mechanisms that are able to grow those skills and abilities that we don't even know what we need, and they're new up and coming skills. That is the risk. And I think we need to think of it in terms of gone are the days when recruitment fixes this. It is a development and learning organizational core differentiator. And that to me is the best way to look at what those future threats or pain points are. Is you can't go get it, you have to grow it.
So then in terms of mitigating that risk, if you're looking to, say, grow it because you can't go out and get it, are there any tools or programs that you would recommend folks focus on?
I think the biggest one is recognizing that it's not a program, and that having that ability to have some active mechanisms to listen, hear, and respond and build that learning agility is critical. So some practical tactical examples of that are installing, there's some great talent management complements out there, such as Degreed, which is that concept of really personalizing the ability for people to acquire skills and reskill and prove their abilities. Also gives organizations the ability to be mindful and watching what is happening in that space, and things like even Gloat, who certainly is coming up as a front runner, just to name a couple of ways that you can leverage the power of technology in the background alongside your practices to really ensure that this is in the center of driving business performance versus it being seen as off in the corner as a people practice or an HR program that's nice to have, but not critically required.
And if you were giving advice to someone who's looking to, say, make those people practices more front and center, what would you say to them?
My biggest piece, if you remember nothing else, is ensuring that it is truly integrated into practice and living in the day-to-day. That to me, those hallmarks of the voice of the business strategy, it has to be meaningful to the person on the other end experiencing it, one person at a time. So when you really think about that being the individual at the center, the experience at the center, how is that landing for them? And is it being narrated and provided in a way that serves their ability to, again, live into those core capabilities of leading through change, being able to be agile in the moment, and to secure that grit and follow through, just to kind of bring that full circle. So for me, those are the big pieces of this is not a standalone mechanism. It's a way of being, and it's really center to the business and absolutely required to drive performance.
And just going back, we've kind of been talking about this idea of building that change leadership. Do you have any, you know, specific tips or tricks that you've seen work well for kind of encouraging that development?
Absolutely. I think, first of all, taking a real look around to determine what are the behaviors that would really make the greatest impact. And it comes right down to the relationship between leader and team and individuals, and how does that opening the doors to those conversations, like, what does that mean? That's a very sort of top level word, change leadership. It's truly understanding situationally what the needs of the individual are and matching that. And that becoming a collective practice within a team is the way that that comes alive and becomes very personal to that particular group. So I would suggest that's, for me, the largest translation of that piece is make it meaningful in the day-to-day using language and mechanisms that the team has agreed upon. And when you see that happening throughout an organization, it's that shared collective strength, with that being a priority, is how it becomes then a differentiator for one organization versus another who pays no attention to it and just hopes that it occurs.
That's where you cross your fingers and hope for the best. Yeah.
Hope for the best.
That was actually the last question that I had for you today. Is there anything else that you wanted to add?
I think it's just been a pleasure to talk about this, and I would just encourage people to think about competencies perhaps differently than they have in the past. I think reverse some of those biases that they may be seen as these big clunky machines in the background that, you know, you go through a long exhaustive process. I would simply suggest that modernize that and simplify it, and keep it some of the tenets that make it really, really work is that simple wins and clarity wins, and in the language of your people. So I would never, ever suggest anyone create some of these structures in a silo. It certainly is a great opportunity to get out there and get the voice of your internal customers and your people to really check in and make sure that those systems and practices are coming alive in their own words, and to have it as a continuous practice versus seen as a once and done. So I think that's what I've really learned, Andrea, that really changes this from being an antiquated practice that people aren't really too sure about. How could we do this? And it's expensive and takes up a lot of time. I think those are some of the biases and myths about competencies versus it can be simple, it can be in the moment, and it can be really impactful and to help people be at their best. That's what I really want to leave this time that we have together with, is that that's what it's in service of. It's in service of driving performance and helping people really live into how they can be at their best.
I actually do have one more follow-up question for you. If you were trying to convince somebody who's maybe used competencies in the past and they're not quite on board with using them again, what would you say to convince them?
I would really go back to the risk and suggest that, you know, pretend that it's a clearing and that you did not have that experience, and open your mind to really saying, you know, going through that process of why didn't it work? And I think it's an interesting conversation to have when you think about what approach was used in the past, and looking at if you simplified it and you really connected it to what your people are saying versus it being an HR driven program or project, I think the benefits and the fruits of that labor would be well worth it, and really start a terrific conversation. So again, think of it as an opportunity to reinvent and think about how it could work, because the risks are enormous if people are not understanding what it takes to be successful in a role, what it takes to be a leader, what good looks like, how they can progress. Those are culture killers. And their engagement, really the death of engagement. So that's how serious to me this really is. And I would encourage anyone thinking about that to contemplate what it could do versus what they don't think it maybe has done for them in the past.
Absolutely. Very well said. Well, Delaina, I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
My pleasure, Andrea, really. And if anyone does want to carry on the conversation, I'd be more than happy to share, as the generosity of others has really helped inform my perspective.
Absolutely. So listeners, you can reach out to Delaina on LinkedIn. And thanks again to Delaina. And thanks again to everyone listening.